So welcome to the Nighthurst podcast. This week we're starting off with a band from Germany called Sedate. Now this, Pete, is fantastic. I thought it was like a really good dollop of like sludge-infused hardcore. Like the feedback and the like raw bitter vocals on this just like blew me away. I know I say that every week, like, but every week we pick things that do blow me away. This sounds so annoyed and like direct. I just loved it.
Yeah, I mean, this is properly up our street, isn't it? You know, there's a thing on the Bandcamp, it says sludge against discrimination, which, you know, straight away, I thought it's good enough for me already. And then, you know, like there was almost like an expectation, you know, before I'd listened to it, of like dirty, gutter, dredging end of the genre, you know, from the aesthetics and the, you know, the monochrome artwork, the aggressive name. And it proved to be true. You know, that I was immediately thinking of Meth Drinker, you know, that from the greatest band from New Zealand. And then I noticed shortly afterwards that they're kind of listed as an influence on the Bandcamp page alongside bands like Moloch and Nuthgrush. And, you know, all those three names, you know, that makes perfect sense. You know, you, just hearing that, you'll be able to imagine how this record sounds. And you'd be right, because it's this absolute debased horridness. And it just crawls along. Like it's been, like it's overburdened with its misanthropy. Just, you know, this is the horrible end of sludge, and we will always love this, and this is no exception.
Yeah, I can see this band like going down well at somewhere like the Hull Noise Collective, or, you know, I don't know, maybe like I don't know, Stuck on a Name. It's that kind of sound, and it's that kind of yes, let's wallow in this rage, basically. Yeah, I loved it. What I didn't notice first time around is it's actually off a split with a band called Negative Slug from Zagreb via a label called Gate of Deliria, which is from Helsinki. So I'm going to seek out the Negative Slug side and sort of see what kind of make of it. But yeah, I mean, if people want to sort of go and listen to the Sedate side, they could go to sedhate.bandcamp.com. The sort of side of the split's called Out of the Closet Session. And yeah, the song was called Worm. Absolutely amazing. So as ever, it's the Nighthurst podcast. It's nine amazing tracks that we found from submissions or by dredging Bandcamp and various other places to find you the best, really, that we can find. Next up, this is like something that just leapt out at me. I mean, I follow Grimestone Records quite closely and try and listen to pretty much everything they release. This one just like really caught my eye. A sort of project, I guess, called Dungeon Crawler. Sounds exactly like some of the other bands on the label. You know, you've got Bloody Keep and various other kind of unusual black metal sort of bands on here. So I think it comes from the same kind of spirit, I guess, as bands like Old Nick. Like there's a sort of like a knowing kind of nod to the ridiculous on here. But I thought it was strangely addictive, this one. And it certainly kind of ticks a lot of boxes for me. What did you make of it, Pete? It's very strange.
It is, yeah. It feels like, you know, like Grimestone have pushed that increasingly blurry line between, you know, like one side of, you know, like the one side of the pentagram of black metal almost, and chiptune. It's, you know, it's can be completely smudged by the label and these bands over the last couple of years, at least, anyway. And I don't know, with this one, if you know, if dungeon synth, which, you know, I think is a term, if that is part, you know, is part black metal and part computer game soundtrack, I'd say Dungeon Crawler are kind of definitely defiantly on the kind of NES and Game Boy side of things. Yes. You know, the times I thought it comes straight from, you know, I know the common references within this, but, you know, games like Ghosts and Ghouls and Castlevania, you know, like a boss fight in one of those games.
Yeah.
It just sounds almost purely from that there. You know, I've got a lot of admiration for people creating music. It's, you know, that whole scene, it feels like a complete labor of love for the people in it. You know, it's a craft in itself as well, and it does bring with it like warm retro memories of playing your Super NES or whatever. I you know, personally, I'm not sure how much I'd ever listen to this, but it is always fun to listen to.
Yeah, I've had this one on loads since. I think there's something in there, there's something catchy about it, and it kind of it manages to sit astride the ridiculous of you know, the ridiculousness of black metal, but like the kind of seriousness of like dungeon synth somehow. And you can kind of start to laugh at it, and then you're like, actually, no, this riff is amazing, and it kind of surprises you in funny ways. I think you could say the same for this, the new Buddy Keep record, which is Vampiric Countess. And I think there's just something of the spirit of like that kind of first wave of Norwegian stuff crossed with this, like you say, this 80s and 90s video game nostalgia, and it just works so well, so unique. And I don't know many other people that are doing anything like this. So RPG metal, maybe? I don't know. Who knows? So if you want to hear this, you can head to grimestone.bandcamp.com. The record's called Dungeon Crawler, Dungeon Crawling Volume 1. And we're going to play a song called Oh Look, The Merchant's in Town. So that was a band called Dungeon Crawler out on Grimestone Records now. Next up, we've got a band called Bardvader from The Hague in the Netherlands. And this is kind of steeped in kind of 70s stuff, isn't it, Pete? But I don't know, it's got some sort of like growl to it that I think just kind of rings this kind of bell that I didn't know I had kind of like in my psyche. Yeah, really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's funny enough. I mean, I should point out that I've chosen a track that maybe isn't representative of the whole album. I was toying with playing one of the other ones, but this is my favorite. The rest of the album is actually kind of raised a few red flags for me. So the first of which is it's a grunge and stoner rock hybrid sound, and that's something you see plenty of times, but almost universally is crap, or at least to me anyway. And the second is that the grunge that, you know, they bring in is very, very specifically Alice in Chains, you know, and influenced. I don't know, Alice in Chains, you know, if people do like grunge or any of it within the doom world, it is normally Alice in Chains. But for me, they're kind of the least favorite of any of those bands, to be honest. So despite all of that, somehow Bardvader have come through this really incredible album. And like I say, I've chosen the wrong song to portray this. I think it is worth hearing the rest of the album because they do make it work. They make a stoner grunge sound work, and that's a miracle in my eyes, to be honest. I've heard that much rubbish and not just make it work. It's a really good album. It's really strong. Mm. There's a bit of weight to it. There's doom in there as well. This track is, like I say, it's doomier than the rest. The vocals are clearly Layne Staley, kind of influenced. But yeah, they've pulled it off and actually just created something really, really incredible. Obviously, it's got like a retro sound, you know, stoner of the late 90s, grunge of the early 90s. But you don't feel that either. It doesn't feel dated or anything. It just feels like a really exciting album. And that, you know, I almost feel like I need to whisper it. It's like a really, really good thing. miraculous, really.
Yeah. Apparently, it's their second record. And it took about 2 years to mix. But I think they're justified in that because it's got this kind of spiky sound to it, which I didn't expect from the description at all. I went into this not knowing what to really sort of take from it, but yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. So yeah, good find, Pete. Where did you find, where we sent this one?
No, I just I'm not sure,
fantastic,
to be honest. Yeah, just
even
a
better.
random find. Yeah.
Sometimes these records call to us from the ether, and
They do.
yeah, you've got to listen sometimes. So yeah, brilliant. So yeah, we're going to play a song called Prolong Eternity. It's off the album Foolish Fires, and you can get this at bardvader.bandcamp.com. Okay, so that was a band called Bard Vader. Absolutely compelling stuff there. Next up, we've got the latest release from Owl Ripper Recordings, which is Paul Priest from Leeds originally, but now lives in all over in sort of Czech Republic. And he is an unstoppable compilation machine at the moment. There's so much going on with this label. They seem to put out kind of appeals for various like artists of certain genres to kind of pitch in and give them something strange. I mean, they've put out so many compilations that they've actually started just putting together oddities collections, which don't fit on any other kind of compilation they've put out so far. But if you go onto their Bandcamp, there's more than three dozen sort of releases out there, really. So this is their fourth compilation of bands just doing 42 seconds. 42 because Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the meaning of life is 42. It's as compelling as the one we played a few episodes ago, really. In here you'll find sludge, noise, almost unlistenable tracks at points, but it's like an art project. It's like walking into a museum and just kind of wandering through these puzzling kind of clips of music. I absolutely love the disorientating kind of pace this has, and I've picked like a sludge band. I picked like a crust band off this because I thought, yeah, this is the perfect kind of length for a crust song. So I picked a band called Campagna del Terra. And a so-called privatization. But I could have picked anything off this, Pete. I mean, have you listened to a selection of this?
Yeah, I've got to probably about halfway. I think, you know, like everything you say is correct. What's fun about it is that, you know, the complete mix of stuff on here, it can go from punk to ambient to pure noise to black metal. Mm. And the fact that they're only 42 seconds long, that nothing can outstay its welcome. So if all of a sudden, you're listening peacefully and all of a sudden like some harsh electronic noise, starts blasting your ears, it's not going to be on for 10 minutes. So you quickly go through. So you kind of stick with it and just wait for the next surprise, because you never really know what's on there. I think there's only one or two bands I even recognize, which is, I think, Slothhammer inevitably are on there. And it's just, it's an experience, it's a exhibition, an art exhibition, like you say. And that's, it's a lot of fun to wander around in it. I think the ambient, the noise, it probably lends itself more, I guess a lot of these are made specifically, because of the constraints that that the compilation sets on them. And it's therefore much easier for, I guess solo artists to create for. But like you say, D-beat, downbeat punk, it is well in tune with these kind of short time frames, and therefore this band are perfect for it. To what I've listened so far, this is what I'd have chosen as well. It's really kind of perfect, just perfect in terms of aggression and tone, and the pace of it is brilliant. It's just it's just a kind of really strange complex, strange kind of curated thing to arrive at. I mean, the one thing to say as well, I've watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy film since we played one last, which was only a couple of months ago. I've never read it or anything, so I never quite got your references when you were talking about this last time, even though I know the commonplace. I they were new to me, and when I was watching, I was kind of, it was like a revelation. I suddenly realized what you were talking about.
There you go.
Yeah, so really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, like you say, the 42 seconds is just like possibly almost the human equivalent of like patience. Like any more, it would probably start to get on your nerves. But 42 seconds just seems to pass just enough time to kind of get annoyed with something, and then it snaps you into something else. So, in fact, I mean, one of the tracks here, I'm pretty sure it's just Morse code. There's, I think, track 24 is by Alfred Morse, and it's like, yeah, it's just beeping. And I was like, yeah, fair play. You've done 42 seconds of Morse code. Absolutely amazing. So, yeah, I think Paul Priest is absolutely keeping the compilation alive here, and it's so well curated, this. And, if you like the sound of this, you can head to owlripperrecordings.bandcamp.com. There's so many compilations on there as well. And if you feel like contributing, then I think they're always looking for new artists. So, yeah, This, as I said before, is a band called Campaña del Terror and the song called Privatization. Okay, so that was one of the 42 songs off a 42-second compilation from Owl Ripper Recordings. Absolutely amazing stuff. Next up, we've got the return of Full of Hell. Now, I think Full of Hell, one of the sort of bands I'm looking forward to most at Damnation this year. I mean, to get them to come over is such a coup, I think, for that festival. Really can't wait. And if this is kind of the material they're playing at the moment, then I can't wait, really. So they've got a new EP out, just three tracks, called Aurora Leaking from an Open Wound. And yeah, we're going to be playing the first track off it. Pete, what can we say about this band that we have not said before? Dark, malevolent, quite scary, to be honest. And this is like possibly the least experimental they've been for a while. They've just gone for the heaviness, I think, this time. But yeah, what a band.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. They've got a bit of an aura around them, at least in my head. You know, I think partly because I've never seen them. Various factors have led to that, including, I mean, COVID was a big one. I think your band would you support them, weren't they? And that was in the April of 2020, and I had tickets to that. I was due to come stay at our house. And the fact that they've gone through, you know, the different elements of the music, you know, kind of completely technical, experimental, sometimes pure death metal, you know, like sometimes like just like a hardcore band. They feel this kind of special band, and I am really, you know, I think more than any other band, that the band I'm looking forward to most at Damnation Festival, which will be, you know, I think the day after this podcast comes out. That, you know, it's a strange one, Damnation. It is, you know, just kind of going off slightly. It's a strange festival. I think it's the biggest strength of it for me, the biggest reason I enjoy going, is also partly its biggest weakness, which is it's not a single genre festival. And therefore, yeah, I get to go see maybe like death metal bands and black metal bands, which I wouldn't necessarily see at kind of, you know, normally. I wouldn't go see touring, or, you know, not going to be at something like Desert Fest, which is more, you know, akin to my musical taste. So it gets you out, and you kind of all of a sudden you list to others. It's weakness because there'll be times when, you know, there's bits of the day when actually there's no, you know, you're not really bothered about any of the bands. But still, if it means I can go watch Full of Hell and Converge and Pig Destroyer and Wolves in the Throne Room and all these together on the same day, then, you know, that kind of far outweighs any negatives. And yeah, I just think Full of Hell, where they are with their back catalogue, with the, you know, the variants they've got in there, the intensity they've got, and the you know, that credibility they've earned, they're just, you know, just a band still capable of creating incredible music, as this proves. So yeah, it's exciting. I'm really excited to see them.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year since that Garden of Burning Apparitions record, which was similar kind of feel, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, it just feels like they've put out so much, and so much quality stuff as well. I really can't kind of rate them enough, really. I think a lot of people who may not have heard of them before are going to get absolutely blown away by this. So if this is the intent, then I'm all for it. So we're going to play the song Aurora Leaking. And if you want to hear the whole three songs of this, it's all over in a flash. It's the most captivating sound you'll hear, I think. You can go to fullofhell.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Full of Hell. Next up, we've got a band called Fucking Lovely, which I think you can't say in any other way than that, really. It's an almost, I guess, supergroup. It's been called kind of solo slash collaborative noise punk from Manchester, but it features people from Coil Guns, Cower, Ghost of a Thousand, and yeah, I don't know. It just, to me, it sounds. If Human Worth was to be a sound, this would probably be a good representation. I think it's yeah. It's got that kind of the creativity that they kind of harbor on the label, combined with I don't know, just a sense of the irreverent and strange. The vocals in particular here are really odd. Yeah, and I absolutely loved it.
It is. I think that description of a Human Worth. You know, typical record, and that being a very positive thing before, you know, before there's any other way of thinking of that, is accurate. I like the makeup of it. The Coil Guns thing's a bit left field because they're from Switzerland. You know, the kind of 70% and Cower and the other bands, that makes sense. You know, these are people from, or bands from the Human Worth roster, you know, from the hardcore and noise rock scene of the UK. But then you add in the vocalist from Switzerland, from, you know, a band in Coil Guns that, you know, we've long liked, you know, which I think we've played on this podcast many times, you know, the kind of really incredible band who makes, you know, like the kind of almost like a progressive black and hardcore band. And, but it seems to have been done, you know, it is that collaboration feel, I think, you know, recorded remotely. And it makes for a really intriguing listen. You know, it's like wonderfully chaotic at times. There's these whizzing, whirring guitars that, you know, just kind of sparks from it and it illuminates the whole thing. And there's an electronic underbelly which hums along throughout. And that, it just makes it slightly different. You kind of just a oddity to it that it, but is alive and joyful for it. It's amazing how tight it feels, to be honest, especially being, you know, it seems if it's been created from afar, you wouldn't guess it at any point. That's really impressive. It's the only song we've heard so far. It's out on the day this podcast comes out, I believe. So that Friday, yeah. When hopefully everyone's listening to this, I've already bookmarked it to make sure I remember to kind of get on there, and that's where I'll be that Friday morning.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's really interesting, and yeah, such an achievement. It's so off kilter and strange that I just had to play it, really. Simple as that. I mean, we play a lot of Human Worth, probably for a good reason. So yeah, if you want to hear this, you can head to fuckinglovely.bandcamp.com. There is a limited edition cassette coming out. You should probably grab it as soon as you can. The song's called Billy Boy. So that was a band called Fucking Lovely on Human Worth Records. Next up, we've got something that I don't think I've ever heard before, really, in terms of style, in terms of delivery. It's absolutely brilliant. Pete, this band, Tau and the Drones of Praise, it sounds like going into some really strange, happy-clappy church on a Sunday, but seeing a stoner rock band play combined with members of the congregation. I can't really put it into words what this sounds like, but it's so interesting. Mm. And I listened to it over and over again. I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, me too. I've had it on repeat, and that surprised me in itself. I saw the band's name a while back. I think they played the Roadburn, the kind of online Roadburn Redux, which was in the COVID times. So I knew of the name then. And the fact that they've got Drone in the title, you know, kind of pushed me one way where I thought it was. It definitely isn't Drone as we kind of know it. This isn't, you know, the Sun's Black One. This isn't our realm of music necessarily. But then, you know, going back to it the 10th time, I thought, no, I've got to play it. I am completely addicted to it. It's lighter than anything we normally play, but it is still, you know, it's still within the, you know, the same world. You know, it reminds me a little of Church of the Cosmic Skull, I guess.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Yeah. It's got that kind of cult feel to it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's psychedelic folk. It's krautrock. It's just, you know, it's happy music to be played in a commune. I find myself singing it in my head. And, you know, normally, no matter how much you like the song, that really starts to annoy you when you're just singing I sing the song title over and over and over. And it never, I never get bored of it. I never get annoyed with myself doing it, which is incredible. So, yeah, if you want something to brighten your day, we don't normally bring music that does that, but here you are.
Full of Hell and this week. Yeah. I think the closest I could kind of place, like in terms, not in terms of metal, but in terms of music, was, you know, that weird kind of spirituality that comes with bands like the Polyphonic Spree and Flaming Lips and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's got that feel to it. I can imagine them, you know, throwing out massive, inflatable balls into the audience and things like that. I imagine it's very euphoric to see this band live. So, yeah, can't get enough of this. So the album is called Miss Nietzsche, and it's on Glitterbeat Records. So you can find this via Tau and the Drones of Praise.bandcamp.com. And we're going to play the song It Is Right to Give Drones and Praise.
are standing with seeds in our hands and we're ready to plant, and we can't stop now. And we can't stop now. No, we can't stop now.
Try to give drones and praise. 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 Try to give. Try to give. Try to give drones and praise.
I am the beam of your house.
Try to give drones and praise.
I am the board.
Okay, so we're going from Tau and the Drones of Praise, this like uplifting stuff, to this heads down, almost thrashy sounding death metal, courtesy of Live Burial. Now, Pete, I don't know if you got this, but I could just hear a Slayer fan in this band all the way through. You know, through the kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like old school death metal, but with incredible drums. Like the drums are like almost techie, but then there's these just like incredibly... You know, we're talking Raining Blood kind of level of Slayer kind of like leads just flying through this. I really enjoyed this. I like every single track just kind of brought a smile to my face. I don't know about you, Pete.
You know, like we talk almost every week now about the kind of the British death metal scene as it is now, and this absolutely unhalting steamroller momentum that's going there, and you know there's so much good stuff. I think, you know, it's so exciting to witness it. And Live Burial, I'd say probably the most old school sounding of the lot by yeah. far. You know, there's this kind of like graveyard dustiness across it all. You know, that completely smothers it in murk and mire. The label, I think it's Transcending Obscurity, isn't it? They mentioned, you know, like, you know, the early Finnish scene. They mentioned bands like Ace Fix and Unleashed, and that all makes sense.
Oh yeah,
you know, it is old school. It's, you know, it feels completely rotten. There's like solos in the middle as well, which, you know, like yeah. you don't hear so often. And you know, that's that kind of in itself is like a revelation, which is a weird thing to say, but you know, because you just don't hear it much anymore. It is definitely from another era. But so you know, it's brilliant to hear. It's brilliant to get that kind of, you know, to get that variety in the music now, and just yeah, thrilling. I thought,
yeah, just exciting. And like the drum, I can't get over how complex the drum parts are. It's you know, playing like with such like fervor and complexity that like that's not called for, but it kind of works. You know, they could have just played straight kind of, you know, double bass all the way through this, but there's so much technicality on display. I just thought this is something special. So yeah, really, really enjoyed this. If you want to hear it, you can head to liveburialdeath.bandcamp.com or via Transcending Obscurity Records. We're going to play a song called My Head as Tribute.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was a band called Live Burial. Okay, so that was a band called Live Burial. Absolutely fantastic, thrashy kind of influence there. To end this week, we're going to sort of bring things down again with a band called Diana, who we've had on. So this must be the third or fourth time we've played a track.
Fourth.
Is it? Wow. Okay, so yeah, I mean, really, really exciting one-man project from Louisiana. Not a lot of variation between releases for me, but every time I hear something new, it just takes me into a very calm place. And I think that's the whole point of this. Someone actually sort of commented on this one, saying that Bandcamp needs to have an auto-buy feature for bands like this. And I'd absolutely agree. I mean, it's everything that this guy's released has just been really engaging and, yeah, just really peaceful. I think we both picked this each, you know, like over the time. Can't remember if you bought the first one or I did, but yeah, it's just like universally very spiritual sounding. It's got that kind of drone element. I mean, we said all this before, but like the kind of drone elements of it and the Eastern tinged kind of scales that they use on this are absolutely astonishing. And yeah, we can't really get enough of this.
I'd love it, and I will always love it. I think the first release came out in 2021, so yeah, last year. This is the seventh. I've restrained myself to only picking four of them. I've bought them all. It is this very spiritual thing. It's a Buddhist drone project. It's recognizing that you know there are drones within in kind of this spiritual, ethereal, religious, you know, kind of world, you know, and that therefore could be married up to the drones we're more used to, the drones of sun and earth and bong and om, and that makes sense. And you know, it's obvious when you say it, but I've never heard anything like Diana do, you know, create. You know, like I said, this is fourth time we've played, and so almost inevitably going to repeat it myself in terms of what I've said, but I think it is worth saying. I think the one thing I would say different, this time is definitely different, is I think if anything, the kind of the Buddhist elements, the musical inputs, a different kind of instrumentation is ramped up here. I went with my partner to a gong bath at some point in the last 6 months because she wanted to go, and I did wonder what I'd get out of it, and I, you know, it reminded me of that. I did just fall asleep, but you know, it's this, you know, I've realized myself, you know, like meditation, you know, I'm not religious, I don't consider myself spiritual, but I have been in, you know, situations where kind of meditation, I've been, you know, that I've to be with my partner, but, you know, that's there, and I've kind of drifted off, and I've thought, well, that is just that's not me not getting it, that is me completely getting it, but my own way. And when I really got into drone, which isn't that long ago, even though I've been into Doom for a long time, I had that same feeling when I was listening to Earth 2 and so on. And Diana were exactly saying, this is, you know, this is up there with Earth 2, you know, that Diana, that's what Diana do. You kind of just, it's, you know, it's calming. You feel kind of just lighter and clearer headed at the end of it, even though it's still kind of got the doom elements, it's still got the heaviness to it at points. But it is drawn out, it's drawn out over 20 minutes, this track. I'm sure we're only going to play an excerpt. Every time one of these releases comes up, which is only every 2 or 3 months, I kind of think, maybe it'll drop off, but it never does. I sit there and I have an hour to myself with it and kind of just feel lighter at the end of it. And this is no exception.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got like a weird brain, but it made me concentrate on it. I used it for writing the other day, so right. I needed to write a lot of words. I needed to just get into sort of what they call flow, and that this just got me there straight away. And I was like, I feel very at peace. I can just let the words come out of me, and it worked so well. And I think that's maybe like a similar reaction, maybe like not me, like you say, not spiritual, but like just something natural that awakens in you. So yeah, really quite interesting.
I think it's your own interpretation of spirituality.
Yeah,
that is, you definitely. Know, it is. It's, you know, it's a point we always reference is when we went to see Earth in Manchester, and pretty much everyone fell asleep during it, And it was a spiritual, you know, a joint spiritual experience because it was because of the, you know, it's in a weird theatre, wasn't it? It's very much in the same vein.
I think everyone else fell asleep. I thought I'd seen a ghost. I thought a little girl kept walking up and down the stairs next to me, and she wasn't.
Wow.
Obviously. Yeah. I think it was a combination of the heat, pints of Guinness and the music. It was insane. I honestly thought there was a little girl stood next to me, and I turned around, she wasn't there. So there you go. Very strange. Right. Back to the music. I think if you like this, then just check out any of the releases on here. We've played quite a few. But the record here is called Triaka, which is a reference to the three bodies, which is a Buddhist teaching, apparently about the nature of reality. Which I can absolutely dig here. And we're going to play the opening song, which is Dharmakaya. You can get this at dhyanadhoom.bandcamp.com. We'll see you next week.